To Revelation chapter number 3. Revelation chapter number 3, if you will. And we'll get into our Bible reading beginning in verse number 14. Revelation chapter number, well, I'll tell you what, we'll start our reading in verse number 13. And we'll read down through verse, probably through the end of the chapter. It ends in verse number 22. We'll only be preaching till verse number 20. And so Revelation should be easy to find. It's the last book of the Bible. Find chapter 3. Is everybody good? Verse number 19. Verse number 13. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Does anybody know who we're talking about here? Jesus. All right, there's one person in here. All right, now verse number 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. Lord, we're thankful, Lord, for the testimony given to the church here at Laodicea. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, as we open the scripture, Lord, as we learn from the scripture, I pray tonight, Lord, that we would be changed. Lord, not for the worse, but for the better. God, I pray that you would use tonight in our studies tonight to increase our faith, and Lord, that we may become more zealous for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Anybody have a heart attack? Huh? There's a lot of people jumping around back there. Hey, amen. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. And huh? What is it? She's wishing I got her taser out. Hey, I told Colby and Katie, I said, I want y'all to do this, and I want you to do it in such a manner that I don't even know when you're going to do it. And don't worry, I'll tell everybody not to shoot you, all right? And so anyhow, the security guys knew better, all right? They knew not to shoot them. But anyhow, I wanted to contrast something here. As we look, and most of y'all, after you get over the shock, you'll realize that when they come down, they wasn't that out of place in our church. We have I guess you'd call it team spirit around here. There's some guys that pull from Florida. There's very few of them, and you can't blame them. You can't blame them. You can't blame them because ain't much to be happy about. And then you got a couple that's for Florida State, just a few. I mean, yeah, like three, four of y'all maybe. But then we got Bulldogs in the house. See, it all just gets better. But anyhow, the point was this, that in the proper setting, that is not frowned upon whatsoever. Come on, I need somebody to help me. So in the proper setting, that is basically accepted. Am I right? I mean, if we were to take Colby and we were to take Colby down to Jacksonville and we were to put him in the middle of the Gator Bowl when Georgia is playing Florida, he would, help me out right here, fit right in. If we were to take Cadence and we were to take her over to Tallahassee and she would fit in with both the other fans that were there for that game. Right? And she's welcomed in Publix too as long as she stays away from the seafood. I need somebody to say. Some of y'all get that, some of y'all don't. All right. But yeah. The point is that in our surroundings and when in the proper surroundings, then it is accepted when people are zealous. Amen. Y'all got to help me now. Now, throughout the Bible, we learn of the zealots and we learn of different people that they were zealous to a bad degree. A matter of fact, even Paul said of himself that before he met Christ, he had a zeal for the things of the Judaism, the Judaites, the law. And so Paul described himself before his salvation as being zealous. But the problem that exists in the church today is that there is no zeal in our Christians. The zeal that was the church and should be the church is now in the charismatic movement, and man, it's accepted over there. But it seems like when we bring it into a Baptist setting, all of a sudden there's something wrong with it. Had some people here recently and they just don't know how they feel about the worship. Well, friend, if you don't like the worship here, you won't like the worship there. Because I'll go ahead and tell you this, we are far, far from worshiping here as we will there. In the proper setting, somebody that is zealous fits in. But the problem is that our churches have gotten so dead that somebody with zeal for the Lord doesn't fit in. Y'all got to help me now. Y'all got to help me. And so what has become of the church is that she has lost her zeal. If you look in the scripture that we read tonight, the church of Laodicea is a perfect example of a church that lost her zeal. This church is addressed. And if you know anything about scripture reading in Revelation chapter number 3, this was a real church. This was a church that existed during John's writing of this book in 90 AD, 100 AD. This church existed, and John wrote to this church because the Spirit bade him to, and Jesus addressed this church. He said about this church that they were neither hot nor cold. In other words, the Bible says the terminology is lukewarm. If you know anything geographically about the church of Laodicea, the church of Laodicea was a beautiful place. It was a very nice place. It existed close to Colossae, and it was a church that had need of nothing. Matter of fact, the historians say that when it was destroyed in 60 AD by an earthquake, that Rome reached out and offered to help rebuild the city. And they said, we don't need your help. We don't want your money. We have plenty ourselves. And they rebuilt the city without the help of the Roman Empire because they were that wealthy and that well off. They had for a enterprise. They had banks. They also had wool. They traded black, dark black wool, like a rich colored black wool that they traded. And also, it was a place where there was a medical facility that claimed to have a cure for blindness in an eye salve. That is why it is addressed in this this book, or in this portion of scripture. Jesus said this to him. He says, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment." That was in contrast to what they had, that thou may be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Jesus said, what you have in the physical, he said, I can give in the spiritual. And he said that you are counting on your riches in the physical when you should be looking to the spiritual. Is everybody with me? And so this church, Jesus, is not, he's not complimenting this church. He's not telling this church, he's not celebrating this church. He is, in fact, condemning this church. And this church, if you know anything about the book of Revelation, not only was it a local church during John's time, but it is also a representative of the church in our day and time. It is also a representative of the Christian in our day and time. Is everybody all right? So, this church has a local aspect in that the church of Laodicea, thereby Colossae. It has a universal aspect in that it is the entire church, but it also has an individual aspect in that it is for each one of us. And what Jesus said about the church of Laodicea, he's saying about the church today. And that is that the church is neither hot nor cold. Once again, Jesus was using something that related to the local church of Laodicea. The city of Laodicea had, its one weakness was that it had no water supply. And so they had an aqueduct that was fixed, and for 6 miles that aqueduct ran and brought water into the city, which made them very vulnerable to any attack or any enemy that would come against them, because it was easy to turn off their water supply. In 6 miles, they could shut down their water supply to the point where they would have no water. But the only water that they had access to in those 6 miles were hot springs. And by the time the water traveled those 6 miles from them hot springs, it wasn't hot anymore. And if you know anything about the region, you'll know it wasn't cold. And so they had an understanding, Brother Herman, of lukewarm water and just how disgusting it was. I need somebody to help me. I can't drink the mess. Don't even come at me. No, I got to have mine ice cold. All right, ice cold. You can give me hot water, but it's got to be coffee. But if you're going to give me water, it's got to be ice cold. Why? Because nobody wants something that's lukewarm. Amen. And Jesus says in the scripture, he said, I'd rather you be hot or I'd rather you be cold. But since you're lukewarm, he says, I'm going to spew out of my mouth. He don't like it no more than we do. Come on, y'all. Y'all got to help me tonight. So what do we do, preacher? I think what's lacking in the church today is zeal. I honestly do. I grew up in a church where, I'll go ahead and say it, I grew up in a church where I didn't see anybody shout. I seen people say amen. I mean, they was the men of the church. And most of them, when I say men of the church, most of that consisted of the deacons or either the men that were teaching. It wasn't like all the men in the church would say amen. It was just the spiritual leadership of the church that would give the holy grunt, amen. Amen. I never seen anybody raise their hand in church. I mean, if somebody raised their hand in church, obviously they had a question. I've never seen that. I've never seen any of that. I've never seen anybody stand up in church unless they were asked to give testimonies. I surely had never seen anybody run in church because they would have gotten shot. Where I can't, y'all got to help me. Is everybody all right? I remember when I got saved in 1997, I started, Lord started working on me. I if you think that I got saved and went right on into Bible college and was the perfect Christian, you are badly mistaken. It took about 9 years of God working on me before I got to the place where it was time for God to take me to the next step. 2006, the Lord called me to preach. In 2007, me and my wife and my family, I resigned from the chemical plant, and we left, and we went to North Augusta, South Carolina, and walked into Victory Baptist Church. Brother Larry Brown was the pastor at that time. And when we walked into that church, it was so much different than I'd ever been around in my life. I mean, people were happy. When the song service played, nobody left. I'm just being honest. It was enjoyable. I looked forward to the first time in my life. It was like I had to be at church. For the first time in my life, the Lord had been working on me, and I was faithful. Don't get me wrong, man. My family was at the church every time the door was open. But for the first time, we were in a situation where I wasn't going to miss. I mean, it wasn't just I'd made a commitment to go, but there was nothing you were going to do that was going to keep me from going. It was that good. I got into the church, and people were shouting, and women were shouting. I didn't even think that was supposed to happen. I need somebody to help me. I mean, I'd always heard, let the women keep silent in the church. That's 1 Corinthians chapter number 14. Come to my Sunday school class. I'll teach you about that this coming Sunday. But anyhow, I'd never seen no woman holler. I'd never seen no woman stand up. I'd never seen a woman raise her hand. I'd never seen a woman run a lap. I'd never heard a woman do anything but walk in, sit down, and walk out. So I got there, and they was women worshiping. They was men worshiping. And I ain't talking about the ones that was dressed up. I ain't talking about the ones that were in suits and the ones that had all their stuff together and was the teachers and the deacons of the church. I'm talking about they was some rednecks that was happy they were saved. I mean, I ain't gonna lie to you. I've heard them shout and have and smell like they just drank a beer before they walked into church. What? I'm just telling you, everybody was, it was on. Man, it was on. Brother Jesse, I was sitting there, and I can remember one of the first times somebody ran, a guy come running by me, and I was sitting on the second row, and I always sat right where Miss Rhonda sits. And I sat on the end, and Brother Larry's wife and family sat on the other end, and that's where Brother Larry wanted me. And anyhow, I sat there on the end right there, and I can remember that guy come running by me, and when he did, the pages of my Bible closed. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
He was fast. His name was Joe. He was about 6'4", and he come running by me, and his tie was strung out straight behind him. Like, I ain't kidding y'all. He come by, my Bible shut. What? Yeah, he was running while the preaching was going on.
Amen.
Oh, y'all didn't catch that. See, it wasn't just about the music. It was about worship.
Yeah.
And when it was good and when something was said that was good, it got hot up in there.
Amen.
It was a church that was full of zeal. And because it was full of zeal, I was going to be there no matter what. You know, you're going to have a bad back from sitting like that. You know that? There ain't no girls up here that look. There ain't no girls looking at you right now. You can do that with a teenager. You can't do that with an adult. Well, I'm leaving the church. I can't believe he called me out in front of everybody. But Jesse, I wanted to be there. Amen. I wanted to be there. I mean, I look forward to being there because, Miss Miranda, I didn't know what was going to happen the next service. They got one night, it got on. And people started running. And I've told y'all this probably 5 or 6, 10 times, whatever. There's 5 or 6 people running at the same time, and they were just crisscrossing across the front of the auditorium. I was like, somebody's going to get out. They're getting out. We get in there, and we do these outdoor services. Our camp meeting, it'd be outdoors in the sawdust, and people go to running and bust it. I mean, it was fun to watch. It was enjoyable. One guy went through one night, and we had tarps on the end for the sound. And he went through one night, and there was guide wires across there in there, and he didn't even know it. He just tried to run through the tarps, and he didn't make it. One guy come running down to the front, Jesse, and he lost it in the sawdust. He just lost it, and he come flying into the thing, and it was like, and he just laid there. We didn't know if he was praying or if he was dead, but he hit that wooden thing, just boom. I mean, it sounded like it. He just laid there, not moving, acting like he was praying. C.T. Townsend jumped a banister one time and pulled a hamstring. That was great. We had some fun in that thing. I enjoyed going to church, and people loved it. Church was packed. We'd have 1,500 on a Wednesday night, 2,500 on a Sunday morning, because people enjoyed going to church. And we've lost that. Now listen to me. It ain't all our fault. We had this pandemic that started last March. And this pandemic has put a scare into everybody. And while there are some fears to it, let me say this. We have allowed it to affect us on the outside of church in the secular world. But we've greatly allowed it to affect us inside the church. I look at the number of people that's here tonight and know that at one time on Wednesday nights right before the pandemic, we was running over 200 people on Wednesday night in this church. Amen. Over 200 people on a Wednesday night were coming to this church before COVID. That was our average. We were averaging 205, 206, 210. That's what we were averaging. And now, we look around you. I think there's probably over 100 people in here, but at the same time, we're not where we were. Before the pandemic on a Sunday morning, we were bumping close to 400 people on the property. We'd have in here over 300 people sitting in here on a Sunday morning. Now on a Sunday morning, we're looking at about 200 people. Because everybody's scared. Y'all help me now. It started and it come on us and we really didn't know and we still don't know. All right, listen here. If you think you know what's going on, you don't. That's one thing that I've learned. We say, well, let's do this, and then 10 minutes later or 2 days later, no, we don't need to do that. And last time it come around, oh, we put these people on the vent and we killed them, and this time around, oh, let's try it again.
Yeah.
We don't know what's going on. And the fact is that they've got us second-guessing everything, keeping us at the house, can't find people to work, can't find people to do anything, nobody wants to get out of the house, nobody wants to do this, nobody wants to do that, everybody's scared of church, they'll go to Walmart, scared of church. Let me tell you something, you're going to get a disease that's going to be at Walmart. I need somebody to hear me right now. You come home from Walmart, there ain't no telling what you're bringing into your house.
I watched a guy the other day. Well, I don't remember where we was at. I'm standing there in line, and they got the plexiglass up, and they got all this stuff, and they got all this time to keep you safe and everything else. And the dude in front of me, he pulls out his wallet, licks his fingers, pulls his card out of his wallet, sticks it in, and with the same fingers he just licked, why you got to lick your fingers to pull your credit card out? Sticks it in, and with the same fingers he just licked, touching that keypad that you are. I walked up, she said, crash or chart. That'd be cash today, lady. And you can keep the change. I told Michelle, can you believe this? Everybody all right?
Amen.
But we can't go to church. I might get some at church. People hold the doors for you. The doors are open when you walk in. You walk in, come to your seat. You don't touch anything. But you might get something at church. Dude in front of you done licked his fingers. Is everybody all right? The church has lost its zeal. A lot of it has come from what our surroundings. When the church, when all COVID happened, you know what the first thing they started telling us? Don't go to church. Can't have any gatherings over 50 people. Because if we have any gatherings over 50 people, we create a super spreader environment. Is everybody all right? But you can go to Walmart because it's essential. You can go to the liquor store. See, I still remember that stuff. You can go to the liquor store. It's essential. You got to be able to get your alcohol because people need something to take the edge off. Forget about Jesus. They need beer. And we have allowed that mentality to creep into the church, and I'm guilty of it just as much as anybody. But we have created an environment in church that no longer is where people want to be. Talking on this thing, and I was talking to another preacher. Me and him were just talking. He was asking me how church was going and this, that, and the other. And I said, brother, there's just something missing. Come back in, and they'll be zealous. Matter of fact, they'll be asking the preacher to do anything and everything. I just, preacher, whatever I can do, I'm going to do. I mean, it's like they're trying to work their way into God's good graces. They'll come in and they'll cry a river and they'll come down here to the altar. And as good as our church is, we'll come down here and pray for them and we'll come down here and love on them. But the fact is that they've lived a life that says, God, I don't need you. God, I don't love you until I have a need for you. Jesus said, you're neither hot nor you're cold. He said, I'd rather you were one or the other. He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. And he said that attitude, the attitude that causes that lukewarmness, is when we think, I don't need nothing. I don't need God. Friend, you need God to make it through. I need God to get up out of the bed in the morning. When I was 18, I would have never said that. But now, at 46 years old, and I know I'm not old, I know some of y'all are ancient compared to me. I know some of y'all knew Noah, so there's no sense in letting me know it, all right? But what I am trying to say, that even at 46 years of age, I have come to the realization that I need God just to get out of the bed. I've come to the realization that I need God to get through my day without another pain.
Amen.
I guess maybe wisdom, but I've come to learn that I need God in every aspect of my life and every minute of my day. Maybe it's wisdom, but I have no problem with not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Because I see the need in it so much the more as the day approaches. I could go to church every night. You can't. I could go to church every night. I could enjoy having conversation because I need Him. And Jesus said to this church, He says, you say that you're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And He says, but you don't realize that you're wretched. Listen, you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He said, I counsel thee, in the next verse, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. What Jesus was saying was, everything that you think you have, he says, you don't have it. Everything that you think you are, you aren't. But he says, I counsel you to purchase it from me, because I can make you all of those things. Y'all got to hear me. I can make you all those things. I'm gonna be here every Sunday now, preacher. If he gonna make me rich, that ain't what he's talking about. That ain't what he's talking about. It leads me to believe that maybe what we think is being rich is poor. Because Jesus says, I'll give you what you desire in that. Is everybody all right? Amen. So the admonishing to his counsel in verse number 18 was to seek him, to invest in him, to rely on him, and to love him. The appeal for his communion, lastly, and I'm done. Verse number 19 and verse number 20. The Bible says this. It says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. God said, this is what Jesus said. He said, I love you too much to leave you in this condition. He says, so this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to rebuke you. What you're doing is wrong. You think you're rich, but you're wretched, poor. You see that? He says he's going to chasten you. Now, we don't know what he did in that portion, but we do know that chastening means he disciplined them in some way. But I want you to check out this next phrase. Be zealous, therefore. Did everybody see that? Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Jesus said, be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now check this out. This is cool. He said that this church was lukewarm. He said, you're neither hot nor cold. He said, I'd rather you were hot or cold rather than lukewarm. But then when we get to this verse, he says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, be zealous, therefore. You know what the word zealous means? Huh? Anybody? If you go and you look it up in a concordance, it means to heat up, to be hot, to boil. Y'all, that's good stuff. I don't care what you say. Jesus said, I would rather you be hot or cold. I don't like you lukewarm. But then he goes through and he tells them, hey, look, you think you got it all figured out, but you don't. And he says, I love you. I'm rebuking you. I'm going to chasten you. He says, be hot. Be zealous, therefore. Amen. Don't be cold. Don't be lukewarm. But be hot and repent. So he said that being lukewarm, come on, help me, is a sin.
Yep.
What? I thought it was all right. No. He said that be zealous, therefore, and repent, which literally means, we know what repentance means, turn away from that lukewarmness and be hot. What's missing in our churches today, and the reason people don't want to come to our churches today, is because what's in our churches today is lukewarm. They identify with the church on Sunday and identify with the world the rest of the week. They got too much of Jesus to be comfortable in the world all the time, but they got too much of the world in them to be hot in the church. How do I fix it, preacher? I'm glad you asked. Go back to Titus chapter number 2. Y'all remember I preached out of the book of Titus? Y'all remember that? I did that last Wednesday night. And we went through chapter number one and chapter number two. But we got there in chapter number two, and we got towards the end. I'm going to start reading in verse number 11 of Titus chapter number 2. We'll start reading in verse number 11 of Titus chapter number 2. If you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible says this, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." Who was that? Jesus. Y'all got to help me now. I preached this last Wednesday night. Y'all got to help me. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Who was that? Jesus. All right. Now, Bible says in verse number 12, "Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." Did Jesus teach us that?
Yep.
Y'all got to help me. Did Jesus teach us that? Bible goes on, it says in verse number 13, "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." We're looking forward to that day.
Amen.
We're living in the present, right? We've been taught how to live in the present. He come in the past. He saved us.
That's right.
We taught how to live in the present. We're looking for His return. We're looking for that blessed hope. All right, verse number 14, check this out. "Who gave Himself for us." Who gave?
Yep. Amen.
It was voluntary. He chose. He volunteered. He gave Himself the best that He could give. Y'all got, let me go over here.
Amen.
I'm going to find somebody that's zealous in the church. He gave. That means he voluntarily, He volunteered.
Amen.
Himself.
Yes.
The best thing He could offer.
Right.
There's nothing greater He could offer. The Bible says He gave Himself for
us.
Which means that you and I had a need.
Right.
He was a substitute for us. Now let's read on. "That He might redeem us." That word redeem, it means this. It means to be bought out of slavery by the paying of a ransom.
That's right.
Hey, see, we want to shout about chains being broken, and we want to shout about a rescue story, but what you don't realize is that there was a payment,
that's right,
a ransom that was paid. He gave. He volunteered,
right,
Himself, because there was nothing greater that He could give. To die for you and I, for us, that He might buy us out of slavery by offering Himself as a ransom.
Amen.
All right? From all iniquity. That's past sins and future sins. It literally means He delivered us from the power of sin.
Amen.
And purify unto Himself. He purified us through His blood unto Himself a peculiar people. Now this is cool. Don't miss this. That word peculiar is a set apart people. That's what it means. He set us apart, listen, for Himself. Y'all, I hope I can get this out like it's coming, but it's coming. This literally means, and has in the context, a king that goes in and conquers a nation and then chooses people from it and sets them apart for Himself. See, the purifying unto Himself is sanctification. He cleanses a group of people and sets them apart for Him.
Amen.
Zealous of good works. God has gave Himself for you and I.
Right.
He has redeemed us from all iniquity. He has purified us unto himself a special people. In other words, he's got us close to him. He's conquered us and got us close to him for the purpose of good works. Zealous of good works. I implore the church. I don't know what it's going to take. But if we're not careful, we're going to fall into the mold of every other church that's out there. This church used to be alive. It used to be, man, this place was, it was it. It was a place to be.
Amen.
And a lot of the folks that used to shout and carry on, they've been, COVID has taken them here and COVID has taken them there. And hey, listen, if we're not careful, we're going to sit right here and we're going to end up being a First Baptist church. I need somebody to help me.
Amen.
We're going to end up being a fundamental, independent, non-shouting, non-loving God church. Is everybody all right? If we're not careful, we're going to end up the very thing that you and I can't stand. And it won't be somebody else's fault. It'll be because we've allowed ourselves to become lukewarm. We've lost our zeal for the things of God. How do we get it back? Be zealous, therefore, and repent. That verse right there tells us we can be zealous if we get our eyes on the right thing.
That's right.
I challenge our church that we get back. How did he put it in Revelation chapter number 2, I think it was, at first love?
Yep. That's right.
It shouldn't be out of place to have zeal in our church. Might be out of place to have Kobe run through our church. But it shouldn't be out of place for a Christian. I know I didn't get it across right. It shouldn't be out of place for a Christian to burn, to boil, to be hot for God. Shouldn't be out of place. Why? Because he gave himself for us. That he might redeem us, buy us out of slavery, pay the ransom, and purify unto himself a special people. Zealous of good works. Not just in the church, but outside the church.
Right.
How's anybody going to know what church is in here if we don't take it out there?
Amen.
Let us be zealous of good works. She's coming to the piano. How many of you join me around the altar? Maybe you've lost your zeal. Maybe it was a disappointment. Maybe things didn't work out the way that you wanted in your finances, or maybe this didn't happen. Maybe you've allowed yourself to let this fear, this pandemic, keep you from being all in. I'm not saying that we're exempt from COVID or we ain't going to get it. I'm just saying maybe we've allowed it to affect our worship, our zeal for the Lord. When was the last time somebody wanted to come to church because of you? We say it all the time. People ain't going to, Lost World ain't going to open a Bible. They're going to read you. So when was the last time somebody come to church because of you? When was the last time they wanted what you had? When was the last time they said, there's something different about that Christian? When was the last time they said, you know what? I've been around some church people, but there's something different about you. Hey, some of you in here that ain't never brought anybody into church. Not one person never stepped foot in this church. We call ourselves a good Christian. Maybe tonight we just need to realize, recognize We've allowed ourselves to become lukewarm. We're neither hot nor cold. We got a little bit of the world, a little bit of Jesus. Enough of Jesus, we're not comfortable in the world. Enough of the world, we're not comfortable around Jesus. Maybe tonight we just need to do what the Bible says, be therefore zealous, be hot, burn with desire, and repent. Maybe tonight you need to just get along with the Lord and say, God, I'm sorry for all you've done for me. Lord, I'm sorry that I've become lukewarm. I'm sorry that I'm not hot. I'm sorry that I've allowed the circumstances and my environment to cause me to lose my zeal. Friend, tonight, I hope if there's somebody in here that doesn't know Christ as your personal Savior, I hope tonight you listen to me. The last verse that I read out of Titus, chapter number 2, verse number 14, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. God wants to do that with you. He gave himself, the greatest gift he could ever give, he gave himself for you. Tonight, if you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to raise your hand right up. Preacher, I do not know if I was to die where I'd spend eternity. Is there anybody in here tonight that raise their hand and say, Preacher, I do not know that I'm saved. Is there anybody like that tonight? Just raise your hand right up. Not going to embarrass you, call you out. Not going to send anybody to you. I just need to know how to end the service. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. Is there anybody like that tonight? According to our testimony in here tonight, every single one of us is saved, redeemed, purified unto God Himself, a peculiar people. Let's be zealous, therefore. Oh, I need somebody to hear me. If he went through all that for us, let's be zealous for him. Zealous for the things of God. Because the church is under attack and has been for over a year. People looking down on the church, government telling us not to meet, telling us it's dangerous to go to church. It ain't dangerous to go to Walmart. Not dangerous to go to a liquor store, but it's dangerous to go to church. You best believe with this new round that it's going to happen again. It's just a matter of time before they're going to try to shut everything down again and try to tell churches you ain't going to have services anymore. Choose now. I'm going to be zealous for the Lord. I'm going to be zealous for the Lord. I'm going to love the Lord. I'm going to glorify the Lord in my body, in my spirit, Lord. Whatever I do, I'm going to glorify Him. I'm going to be zealous because He gave Himself for me. He redeemed me. He purchased me out of slavery, out from the power of sin. He's purified me. Brought me unto himself, set me apart. I'm going to be zealous unto good works. Lord, thank you once again for loving us. Lord, I pray, God, that as we leave out of here, Lord, that you go with us. Lord, let us be zealous for you. Let us do our part. Not let this church become what so many others have. Lord, we'll be sure to give you the honor and glory for what you're going to do in our lives and in our church. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.